Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, and I'm here at the Elm Tree Inn in Holton with Henry Joy. Hi, Henry, how are you?
Very good, Michelle. And you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I've been reading about you again.
Well, that happens every once in a while.
So you want to tell me about your latest piece?
Yes, in the Portland Press Herald on Tuesday, there was an article in there by Beth Quimby, and it was pointing out that the several members of the state government were meeting with environmental groups, and three of the private owners of land in the unorganized territory. And basically they were having delicate talks. And in the process of reading through the article, it found out that these delicate talks started last summer with Salazar, of the Bureau of Interior, and also with the Commissioner of the Agriculture for the federal government. And supposedly this group is to come up with four proposals for pilot projects for the federal government to have input into and control. Basically, it looks like in the map about 16 million acres of Maine. In the past, they only wanted the 10.6 million acres that was the unorganized territory. But now, all of a sudden, they want a bigger chunk. They want to go clear down into Washington County. And, of course, we know that from past experience, they've been trying to turn this into a national park for years. There's one small finger of northern Maine where they will allow people, and that's up along Route 1 corridor. And then the other places down on the coast of Maine. And so different radio stations contacted me and wanted some input on why I would do that and this and that and the other thing. So I told them it's just one more thing that follows up on Senator Leahy's Northern Forest Stewardship Act, which would have taken 26 million acres from New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, and made it into the Northeast Forest Bioregion. And I said that it would have been under the control of the federal government. Roughly in that time, there were 16 different agencies of the federal government would have had the say over the use of those lands. And what it does, it takes all of the people who live in those areas right out of the picture completely. And so that particular day, there was a young lady that was had been nominated for Commissioner of Conservation to take the place of McGowan, who was running on the Democrat ticket for governor. So my own suspicious mind points out that McGowan apparently was aware of this and on part of that group before he decided he was going to run for governor. And the lady that was just nominated and approved, 11-2 vote in the committee, for Commissioner of Conservation is the former League of Conservation Voters president, Liza Townsend. So she certainly, what they did was they registered the votes of all of the legislators and rated them on four or five bills that they had for conservation issues. And if you voted and got anything more than a zero, actually you made a mistake on voting somewhere along the line. I think my highest percentage was at 7% once. I got one that I voted the other wrong way on. But that gives you a pretty good picture of what's taking place down there. Now, this is a follow-up of the Comprehensive Land Use Plan that, of course, LIRC has just gone through. And I haven't seen the final draft of that, what they call the CLUP. But I'm certain that there's going to be a lot of this land that is not going to be used or usable, because they're going to put it down for primitive camping. And I hope that they will take my definition of primitive camping that I gave them in Millinocket, which means that you come along to a checkpoint and anything that is manufactured and is not made with your own hands, you leave right there. So no L.L. Bean tents, no canoes, no button, all of those, and your clothes have to be made from something that maybe you trapped them and made clothing, or maybe you grew cotton and you made clothing, but that's the only thing you could take with you. And I said, beyond that, you're not primitive camping. And in the talking to some people from Southern Maine, WGAN, and they wanted to know about this land and the use of this land and so forth. And I said, first of all, I said, most of the land is privately owned. And they said, what about Roxanne? She doesn't want anything cut or anything done. And should she be able to get tree growth or any open space land for rewards for that? And I said, no, absolutely not. And what I didn't tell them that I should have was the fact that the state allows tree growth for land that is in forest stewardship in the forest of the unorganized territory, but they don't reimburse the unorganized territory one penny for the big allowance that they make for the people there. So this is completely contrary to what they do for organized towns, because organized towns, when they've got money, it's supposed to be 90%. This year is going to be considerably less because they've cut it way back already. But this is the thing that has been taking place. Also, you have, this goes back to the biodiversity conference that they had in Brazil in 1992. And we had an unknown representative down there for us, and I think his name was Al Gore. Mm-hmm. And out of that came the Kyoto Protocol and things like that. But also came these maps for what they wanted to do with the United States. They wanted to change it back to 50% of it to where it was before Columbus came over. And so a group called Sovereignty International got together and came up with the maps that went along with what they projected for that. And of course, Agenda 21 is one of the big things that they came through with, where you couldn't go in there. You couldn't do anything. Most of the land was off limits, and they had corridors that would connect them so that, and I always laughed at this one a little bit, so the flora and fauna could migrate from one to the other. And I set out to ask everybody that I see how many plants they know that can pull up their roots and travel downwind. You know? The only ones I know of is the ones that wash downstream called fiddleheads, but beyond that, I don't know of too many of them. But this is the thing, the arrogance of these people, that they think that they can pull the strings on the lives of all of the people who live in that area. And, of course, people said, well, why did you want to name your part Maine and them Northern Massachusetts? And I said, they have a lot in common, but I said, if I had named it anything else, I said, they wouldn't have been upset down there, and it wouldn't have gone from person to person to person. I said, this way, that's where it's going. So, anyway, then I met with the governor on Thursday, and he said, well, Henry, we still have one Maine. And I said, governor, that's only because I couldn't convince Massachusetts to take Southern Maine this morning. And so, basically, that's where it is, and I've got a lot of votes to be governor of the new Maine, but I told them, I said, they need somebody younger than I am, and somebody who is willing to go back and go by the Constitution and ensure that people have their rights and not be beholden to these environmental groups that don't have any ownership in the land, and I said, that don't have any investment. They got lots of money, but they don't have any investment in that land. And I said, right now, the Nature Conservancy does own some. And they found out that they got to harvest those trees in order to be able to maintain that land. Appalachian Mountain Club now owns some land in Maine. And I said, I would be much happier if they would go back to their headquarters in Joy Street in Boston. And they said, this was Boston radio station. They said, their headquarters is on Joy Street in Boston? They said, is that named after any of your ancestors? I said, yes, it was. I said, Thomas Joy, the first Joy to come to this country. And I said, that doesn't please me that they're there, but I would rather they would be there than in there.
Than up here. You know, I was reading a couple of articles, and I think the Bangor News laid out the the names of the people on the board, the usual suspects, Marcia McCaig, all of those people. Yep. How did Matt Dunlap end up on that list? Do you know?
You noticed that he was not on there as the Secretary of State.
He's on the board of
directors of SAM, Sportsman Alliance of Maine.
Okay.
And I don't think that George Smith wanted his name tagged with that. And because, for one thing, it's not going to gain any popularity as word of that gets out, and it's getting out because I was on with BOM yesterday morning, as you may or may not be aware. And I thought it was very nice because they gave me quite a bit of time. But Rick has always been kind to me, and Deb, I don't know her, but she was very gracious, and I said I'm glad to meet, and I said I'll stop in and say hello to him. George has still got a book of mine. It's on Taken by Storm by McKittrick, the Canadian mathematician that proved all of these things were wrong that they were putting out for global warming. It's an excellent book, and the information is there, and George didn't want to believe it. And he would much rather have been a greenie. But I told him, every time I talked to him, I said, George, have you finished reading that book? Well, no, I've read a little bit of it. But he said, I haven't read the whole thing. I said, you need to read the whole thing. He's in Florida right now, so I'm glad he was down there and did see it. But they'll call me at times if... Is it Mayuski, I think, is the one who was in charge of their climate change thing down there. And he's down in Chile right now. They were down there where fairly near to where the epicenter was. And down there, they're supposedly be doing something on climate change. But he's borderline. I told him, I said, I know why you're out there promoting global warming. Because that's would you bring you in research dollars, and it keeps you going. And that's not the reason. That's why all of the colleges have, even if they were against it, will have that money there for climate change. They'll say, well, you know, we really have global warming. And I said, we really don't have global warming. And it's, but this thing with Maine is all one more big step. And at the caucus today, if they'd have had a chance to ask questions, I would like to have asked Bill to refresh us on what the Nature Conservancy told him in 1998. He was talking to them, and at that time he kind of supported what they were doing because they weren't really militant there. But they told him, they said, we are successfully shutting down Maine's industry one increment at a time. And he said, can you believe it? He said, that's the last time I ever supported any of that. But I called him up to find out if they really had made that statement to him. He said, yes.
They really did.
Yeah, and he had been written up along with Henry Lamb in the New American. And that article was written in there. I've got the book that was written by Alan Gottlieb and Ron Arnold, that where Kathy Johnson from the Natural Resource Council made.
Undue influence.
Yeah, well, it's... this guy asked her, he said, well, how do you propose to reimburse the landowners for the land that you're going to tell them they can't use and take away from them? She says, compensation is not warranted. And I told him, I said, you got to remember, I said, you don't hear an awful lot about them, but I said, right smack in the middle of this is the Audubon Society. I said, everybody thinks this is just a nice little organization that's out there looking at birds, and they're bird watchers. But I said, they are one of the big ringleaders. And I told them, there were 28 environmental groups that were on this Northern Forest Stewardship.
Yep.
And they got billions of dollars.
Well, Henry, do most people that you talk to understand why you submitted that bill, or are they totally disconnected?
No, most of the ones that have asked me about it or talked to me about it, and when I have a chance to explain that they want to take over all of northern Maine and turn it over to the control of the federal government, you know, then they understand. But they don't know what's going on. And it's like this. If this Beth Quimby had not written that article, that would not have come out.
That's right.
And so I told Roger when I saw the paper. And we go in, and sometimes I'll buy him a newspaper, and sometimes he'll buy one. And this morning it was my turn. So and you can't get the Bangor Daily in cafeteria. So he gets a Portland Press Herald. I got that. I looked at that. And thought, I've seen that map before. And so anyway, as I sat there at breakfast, and the closer I got to looking at this and sketching through some of the articles, I said, Roger, today I'm putting in my two mains bill again. So I left there and I went straight to the revisor's office, and there's two in there that love to get my bills. They like to write them up. So this time I went in, there was the third lady in there that works with me on the scholarship committee. And she said, Representative Joy, I'd love to take the title of your bill for the legislative council. So it probably won't go anywhere because the legislative council probably won't let it through.
Mm-hmm.
And but then again, the legislative council doesn't understand what's taking place in this state. And with most of them being D's, the chances of me getting it through are slim.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was very pleased, what night were we? We were up in the Senate on Wednesday night, and Libby Mitchell came over and she said, Henry, why did you put in your two mains bill again? And I said to her, Libby, did you read the Portland Press Herald yesterday? Well, no, I didn't have time, she said. And so I told her about it. And I said, when somebody is meeting, especially state agencies, meeting to see about putting wraps on 16 million acres of Maine, I said, that's why I put my bill in. Well, she said, I did know. She said, if you put it in, you had a good reason to do it. So.
Great. Well,
a salad with blue cheese. Is this regular coffee or decaf?
Oh. I'll edit that part out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when they took our land with the Katahdin land swap, shortly after that, my husband and I went down to Augusta, and we were running into legislators left and right. And I was asking them, why did you vote like that? Why did you vote like that? And almost every one of them told us, well, it doesn't really concern my constituents, and I don't go up there, so I don't know. So, I mean, it did point out the need for that sort of a discussion, because once we explained to them exactly what was happening up there, they rued the fact that they did that, but it was really too late. So I really want to thank you.
Well, let me tell you that some of the R's, I won't say a lot, some of them voted for it. And some of them thought they had to do it to pacify their constituents. One of them that was at that time was in Lincoln, and he said, Henry, I agree with everything that you said on the floor of the House, but he said, I had to vote for my constituent. I said, no, you didn't.
I just wonder what they would do if they started having delicate talks about Lewiston.
Yeah, well, right now, see, this gardener came into the rural caucus Thursday morning. And see, what they did by giving up their land around that lake gave them an option, I think, on 13,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to come out of that county. And also, there was a part of land in Aroostook County that was involved. So they had to have that 13,000 acres out of Aroostook and Penobscot. So right now, they've got a proposal to have 35 camp lots on Wetapitlock Lake. And I had a laugh because they had a lawyer there that was trying to explain to them about Wetapitlock Lake. And I thought to myself, I sat back and I thought to myself, I ain't gonna help you. But he was saying, well, this comes over to Route 2, A. And of course, on the other end of it, you can keep going over that way and you come out on 2A over at R2 over in Silver Ridge. But he didn't even know the name of the access road, and of course, it's the Glenwood Road, comes right out of the plantation. And they're putting in, trying to put in for 35 camp lots with the hope that they'll get 15 or 16. Because Lurk is not going to take too kindly to that. See, the part of it may be in Glenwood, and if it is, that's under Lurk's jurisdiction too, because it's a plantation.
Thank you very much, Henry.
Okay, very good.
I'll be back talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Yep. Okay. I'll try to have some answers for you. And I'm looking forward to going to have a chance to talk to the legislative council.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to do that this session?
I think they're going to do it on the 25th.
Great.
Doesn't give me a lot of time, but at the same time, I'm very well versed with the issue, so I don't
need that much prep time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.